Welcome back, Patriots, to the Daily DOG Report. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Grace.
Fired up for another deep dive into the swamp.
You know, it never disappoints, does it?
Never a dull moment in DC, that's for sure. For this deep dive today, I figure let's break it down right. What's DOGE actually doing? And then let's get into how these different sources are like spinning the story. What do you think? Where should we start?
Okay, so just looking at what they're doing, DOGE is taking a pretty hardcore approach to cutting costs. We're talking about like getting into treasury payment systems to find fraud, just canceling contracts left and right.
Oh yeah, those examples, right? Like the climate justice seminars in Antarctica and the sensitivity workshops for paperclips. Yeah, no wonder people are going nuts over that stuff. So is this all just about like flashy cuts, or is there a bigger strategy here, do you think?
It's definitely strategic. So they've got this hiring freeze, executive order 44158, right? But it's not like across the board. They're focusing on agencies like ICE and Border Patrol, but at the same time, shrinking the whole federal workforce.
Interesting. So it's like, yeah, smaller government, but with a focus. Okay. And what about all this talk about DOGE going after all the woke stuff?
Yeah. That's a big piece of it, for sure. So lots of DEI programs, they're getting rolled back. Things like those pronoun training seminars and gender studies for staplers, those are gone. And big agencies, too, like the SEC and the CFPB, they're getting hit with these like huge cost-saving measures.
Wow. Okay, so they're going after the big agencies, cutting foreign aid, and really pushing this whole idea of fighting against, you know, woke spending. No wonder the right-leaning outlets are loving this.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Fox News is saying it's Trump's like ultimate swamp training thing, right? The cure for all the woke indoctrination. The Daily Wire, they're saying it's a way to slash the bloated woke bureaucracy. It's all, you know, very much on brand for them.
And what about the more, shall we say, outspoken outlets like Breitbart, The Epoch Times, that crowd?
Oh, Breitbart's going all in. They're using words like crushing woke elites, you know, and restoring American sovereignty. They're playing to like that whole sense of grievance, you know. And the Epoch Times are framing it as this big fight against globalist corruption, like saving America from the shadowy figures.
So we're seeing a pattern here. DOGE does things that like align with certain conservative ideas. And these outlets, they just crank that message up using language that their audience is going to eat up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where you get the Republican support coming in, right? You've got people like Senator Joni Ernst and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're all praising DOGE and basically just confirming everything those outlets are saying.
But it's not all smooth sailing for DOGE, is it? I mean, there are 19 attorneys general suing them. They're saying the whole thing is like unconstitutional.
Yeah, that's the other side of this, right? The Democrats, they are not happy. And it's not just lawsuits. They're painting a very different picture of what DOGE is doing.
So what are they saying? What are they most worried about?
Well, the main argument is that DOGE is just like way overstepping, right? That it's a power grab and that they're gutting essential programs all in the name of efficiency. They're worried about cuts to social programs, the environment, and of course, all the diversity stuff.
I bet the optics of those cuts aren't helping the Democrats, though. I mean, you see those viral posts, right? The ones making fun of them for freaking out over sea slug murals and like paperclip diversity workshops. It's kind of hard to take them seriously when, you know, when it's presented like that.
Yeah, that's their problem right now. They're raising real concerns about what these cuts could mean, but it's all getting drowned out by memes and people making fun of them.
So it's a narrative war. Both sides are fighting to control the story. And then you've got social media just amplifying everything.
And that's where things get really interesting. Let's talk about how people like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are using platforms like X to shape how people see DOGE.
So we've got like this battle of the narratives happening, right? With traditional media and social media all feeding into this whole DOGE frenzy. But let's zero in on the social media piece for a minute. How are Musk and Ramaswamy like using platforms like X to, you know, try to get people on their side?
Well, they're both pretty good at using social media to, you know, to get their message out. Musk, for instance, he's a master of like that attention grabbing tweet, right? He'll just drop these little bombshells like threat to democracy. Nah, threat to bureaucracy. You know, short, punchy, made to go viral.
Yeah. And she's got like, what, millions of followers just hanging on his every word. It's like he's skipping over all the usual channels, the journalists and all that, and talking directly to people, right?
Exactly. And that's a lot of power these days. You know, it means he gets to frame the narrative like on his own terms. He doesn't have to go through anyone else's filter.
And that message seems to be really working, especially with like the younger crowd, you know. They're more tuned into social media and less trusting of like traditional institutions. I remember reading that Daily Wire article about the Doge kids, these young tech-savvy people who are coming in and shaking things up.
Right, and they're being portrayed as these like heroes, right? These digital warriors fighting against all the bureaucracy and inefficiency. It's a powerful story, especially for people who've grown up with this whole idea of disrupting the status quo.
But we can't forget about the other side of social media, right? There's been a lot of pushback against DOGA online, too, hasn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The critics are just as loud as the supporters, and they're using social media to, you know, to get organized, to mobilize, to make their concerns heard.
What are some of the main arguments they're making? What are they, like, really worried about?
Well, they're raising some really valid concerns, like what's the impact of these cuts going to be on essential services, especially for, you know, for people who are already struggling. And they're worried about the lack of transparency, like how is DOGE actually operating? Who's watching them? And they're questioning the motives, right? Like, is this really about efficiency or is it about pushing a particular agenda?
So it's like a real tug of war happening online. Both sides are trying to win people over.
Exactly. And it's all happening right now, 24/7, every tweet, every post, every meme. It's all part of this ongoing narrative war.
It's almost like social media is like the new battleground for political debate, you know?
In a lot of ways, it already is. And it's a battleground that's always changing with new players coming in all the time.
Like those ex-personalities we were talking about earlier, right? The ones who are like amplifying the DOGE message to a whole new audience.
Right. People like at Cattered 2, at Ion on Patriot, at Chuck Colesto. They've got massive followings and they're using their platforms to, you know, spread the word about DOGE and what they're trying to do.
And they're not exactly holding back, are they? I mean, some of their posts are pretty pretty intense.
That's part of their appeal, right? They're tapping into that anger and frustration that a lot of people feel toward the government. They're not afraid to, you know, to say what they think, and that resonates with certain people.
And they're really focused on those cuts to foreign aid, especially the money that was going to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's been a big one for them. They see it as like a waste of taxpayer money, money that could be used here at home. And they're using social media to, you know, to hammer that point home, often in pretty provocative ways.
Like that post from @Cattered2, demanding they get the $350 billion back from Ukraine. That's definitely going to get people talking.
For sure. And they're using images and videos too, right? Remember that whole thing with the Ukrainian soldiers taking off American flags from their helmet?
Oh, yeah, that was everywhere.
Right. And people like at Ion on Patriot and at Chuck Colesto, they jumped right on that. They were saying, see, even the Ukrainians are turning against us.
So they're using that to push this narrative that the U.S. is like wasting money on a war that's not in our interest.
Exactly. And that message is resonating with people who are already, you know, skeptical of foreign aid and all that.
So we've got this whole mix of traditional media, social media, and these influential people on X all shaping how we understand DOGE and what they're doing.
And it's creating this really dynamic and unpredictable information environment. It's hard to say what's going to, you know, what's going to stick, what's going to go viral, what's going to actually change people's minds.
It's almost like we're constantly bombarded with information now, with all these different voices and opinions fighting for our attention.
That's the challenge of the digital age, right? We've got more information than ever, but it's also harder to filter out all the noise and find what's real.
So how do we make sense of it all? How do we figure out what's actually true, what's just spin, and what's straight up propaganda?
That's the big question, isn't it? I think the important thing is to be like a critical consumer of information. Question everything you see and hear and look for different perspectives.
And remember that everyone has an agenda, right? Everyone's trying to influence us in some way.
Exactly. It's up to us to be aware of those agendas and make up our own minds.
Okay, let's bring it back to DOGE for a second. We've talked about how the media and social media are like shaping the narrative. But what about those lawsuits? Those could really derail the whole thing, right?
Oh, they absolutely could. Those 19 attorneys general, they're not messing around. They're saying DOGE is unconstitutional, that it violates like the separation of powers, that it's operating without any real oversight.
So break it down for me. What are their main legal arguments?
Okay, so their core argument is that DOGE is like going beyond what the Constitution allows the executive branch to do. They're saying it's Congress, not the president, who has the power to decide how money is spent and what government programs exist.
So they're saying DOGE is basically taking Congress's power.
Yeah.
Like making these huge changes to government spending without anyone voting on it.
Right. And they're saying that violates the separation of powers, which is like a fundamental principle of American democracy.
And that's a pretty serious accusation, right? I mean, if the courts agree with them, it could like completely change the future of DOGE.
Yeah, it could even shut the whole thing down.
Wow. Okay. So what else are they saying?
Well, they're also claiming that DOGE is breaking the Administrative Procedure Act, which basically says that federal agencies have to follow certain procedures when they're making rules or doing things that affect the public.
So they're saying DOGE is making these like sweeping changes without telling anyone or letting people have a say?
Exactly. They're saying that lack of transparency, that lack of public input is breaking the law.
And so they're basically saying DOGE is acting like a rogue agency, operating in secret and not answering to anyone.
That's their argument. And a lot of legal experts think it's a pretty strong one.
So what happens next? What are the next steps in this whole legal battle?
Well, both sides will present their arguments to the courts. And the judges will have to decide if what DOGE is doing is legal and constitutional.
And that could take a while, right?
Yeah, it could. These kinds of legal fights can drag on for months, even years.
So in the meantime, DOGE is just going to keep going, keep making these cuts, keep doing their thing.
Unless the courts step in and tell them to stop, yeah.
Wow, okay, so this is far from it feels like we're just at the beginning of a very long and very messy fight.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
So with all this legal uncertainty, how are people reacting to DOGE? I mean, beyond all the politics and social media stuff, what are like regular Americans thinking about all this?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag, just like, you know, just like the country itself. Public opinion is split right down the middle, which reflects that bigger political polarization we've been seeing for years now.
So you've got people who are like totally thrilled with DOGE, right?
Yeah.
They see it as like, finally, someone's doing something about all this bloated and inefficient government.
Exactly. They're the ones cheering for Musk. Every budget cut, every canceled contract, every woke program that gets defunded. For them, DOGE means someone is finally listening to their concerns about, you know, the government getting too big and wasting their money.
And they probably love those examples of what DOGE calls wasteful spending, right? Like those climate justice seminars and the sensitivity workshops. It just confirms what they already believe, that the government is out of touch and wasting their hard-earned tax dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Those examples really feed into their skepticism of government programs. You know, they think the government is more often the problem, not the solution.
But then you've got the people who are like really worried about DOGE, right? The ones who think it's a reckless and dangerous experiment that could have serious consequences.
Absolutely. They're worried about what these cuts could mean for essential services, for vulnerable communities, for the environment. They see DOGE as a threat to the social safety net, like a step backwards in terms of, you know, social progress.
And I bet they're especially worried about cuts to programs that they see as like essential for a just and equitable society, right? Things like social programs, environmental protection, diversity and inclusion initiatives, those are probably top priorities for them.
Right, exactly. They see those programs as crucial investments in the future, not wasteful spending.
Uh-huh.
And they're worried that DOGE is prioritizing like short-term savings over long-term benefits for society.
And I bet they're also worried about like the potential for abuse, right? I mean, if you give one entity so much power to make decisions about, you know, government spending, there's always the risks that someone could misuse that power.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. They're worried that DOGE could be used to, like, target programs and agencies that are just politically inconvenient, not actually wasteful or inefficient.
So we've got this really stark divide, right? People either see DOGE as a savior or as a threat.
And that divide is probably just going to get wider as this story continues. It'll be interesting to see how public opinion changes as those legal challenges go forward and, you know, the real impact of what DOGE is doing becomes clearer.
It feels like we're in uncharted territory here. We've never seen anything quite like DOGE before.
Mm-hmm.
It's shaking up the whole political landscape, challenging our ideas about government, and making us ask some really fundamental questions about what kind of society we want to live in.
I think that's a great way to put it. And it's a story that's still being written, you know? There are new twists and turns popping up all the time. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out.
Okay, so we've talked about what DOGE means here in the U.S., but this is a story with like global implications too, right?
Mm.
Those cuts to foreign aid, especially the money going to Ukraine, that sent shockwaves through the international community.
Oh, absolutely. The US has always been a big player on the world stage, you know, both in terms of like military power and economic aid. So when the US starts pulling back, it creates a lot of uncertainty and anxiety for everyone, allies and adversaries alike.
So how has the rest of the world reacted to DOGE?
Well, as you might expect, it's been a mixed bag. Some countries, particularly those who are, you know, close to the US, they've expressed concerns about the cuts. They're saying it could destabilize things globally and hurt vulnerable populations.
So they see this as, like, the U.S. stepping back from its leadership role in the world.
Exactly. They're worried that the US is withdrawing from its traditional role as like a provider of aid and a champion of democracy and human rights. They see DOGE as a sign that the US is becoming more isolationist, less willing to engage in global affairs.
And they're probably especially worried about what this means for Ukraine, right? They see the aid to Ukraine as crucial for helping them defend themselves against Russia.
Absolutely. They worry that these cuts from DOGE could weaken Ukraine and embolden Russia. They're afraid it sends a message that the US isn't committed to supporting its allies when they need it most.
But some countries have been more supportive of DOGE's actions, right?
Yeah, some countries, especially those who have, you know, disagreed with US foreign policy in the past, they've actually welcomed the cuts. They see it as a sign that the US is finally rethinking its role in the world and focusing more on its own interests.
So they see this as a good thing, a shift away from what they see as, like, American interventionism.
Exactly. They believe the US has been too involved in other countries' affairs, that we often interfere in ways that destabilize regions and cause more problems than we solve. They see DOGE as a way for the US to step back and let other countries handle their own business.
So the global reaction to DOGE really reflects that broader debate about America's place in the world, right? Some see the U.S. as an essential leader, a force for good, while others see it as an overbearing power that needs to back off.
Exactly. And DOGE is making those different perspectives clash. It's highlighting those tensions in the global order and raising questions about the future of American leadership.
It's amazing how this domestic policy is having such a big impact internationally. It shows you how interconnected the world is and how even decisions that seem internal can have global consequences.
Absolutely. We live in a globalized world, right? What happens in one country can affect people all over the planet. And DOGE is a perfect example of that. It's not just an American story, it's a global one.
Okay, so we've talked about the political, social, international implications of DOGE, but let's not forget about the economic side of things. DOGE supporters say these cuts are necessary to lower the deficit and boost economic growth. What do economists have to say about that?
Well, like with most economic issues, there's no simple answer. Economics isn't an exact science, you know? It's more like a mix of art, science, and a bit of guesswork.
So there's no easy answer here. It's not just cuts are good or cuts are bad. It depends.
Exactly. It depends on like the specific cuts being made, when they're made, what the overall economy is like, and a ton of other factors.
So let's try to break it down. Some economists agree with DOGE. They say that government spending is often wasteful and cutting it can free up resources for the private sector.
Right. Their argument is that when the government spends less, businesses and individuals have more money, and they can use that money to invest, create jobs, and drive economic growth.
So they see this as a way to boost investment, create jobs, and encourage innovation. They believe that a smaller government is a more efficient government, and a more efficient government leads to a stronger economy.
That's the gist of it. They believe the private sector is better at allocating resources and creating wealth than the government. They see government involvement in the economy as like a roadblock to growth.
But some economists are more skeptical, right?
Right.
They're worried about the potential negative consequences of these cuts, especially in the short term.
Yeah, they point out that government spending is important for keeping up demand in the economy. When the government spends money, it creates demand for goods and services, which supports businesses and jobs. So if you cut government spending too drastically, you risk lowering demand and slowing down the economy.
So they see DOGE as, like, a risky bet, one that could backfire and hurt the economy. They think we need a balanced approach, one that considers both reducing the deficit and supporting economic growth.
That's their perspective. They're worried that DOGE is too focused on cutting spending and not enough on stimulating growth. They think we need a more nuanced approach, one that takes into account how complex the economy is and, you know, all the unintended consequences these cuts could have.
And they're also concerned about what these cuts could mean for specific parts of the economy, right? Like, cuts to education and infrastructure could hurt long-term economic growth. They argue those are investments in the future, and cutting them back now could have negative consequences down the road.
Exactly. They believe the government has a role to play in supporting education, infrastructure, and other things that are essential for long-term economic growth. They're saying, these aren't areas where you want to cut corners because the consequences could be really bad.
So it's a complicated issue with valid arguments on both sides.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as just saying cuts are good or cuts are bad. There's a lot to consider.
Yeah, and it also depends on your economic philosophy, your priorities, and, you know, how much risk you're comfortable with. Some people are okay with the idea of a smaller government and a more hands-off approach to the economy, while others believe the government needs to play a more active role.
And those philosophical differences are playing out in this whole DOGE debate.
Definitely. This isn't just about economics. It's about values, about what role the government should play, about what kind of society we want to live in.
And it's a debate that's likely to continue for a long time.
I think that's a safe bet. These are fundamental questions that people have been debating for centuries, and there's no easy answer.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the political side of DOGE. This initiative has created a big rift between Republicans and Democrats. What do you think the long-term consequences are going to be? Is this just a temporary political fight? Or is this something that could really change the political landscape?
It's hard to say for sure, but I think DOGE has the potential to be a real turning point in American politics. It's not just another policy issue. It's become a symbol of how divided we are as a society.
So it's about more than just budget cuts and government efficiency. It's about fundamental values, about different visions for what the country should be.
Exactly. And those differences aren't going to disappear overnight. In fact, DOGE has probably made those divisions even worse, you know, hardening the lines between the two parties.
So how could this play out in the long term? What are some possible scenarios?
Well, one possibility is that DOGE just makes the partisan divide even worse, making it even harder for Republicans and Democrats to work together on anything.
So we could see even more gridlock, more political dysfunction, more of the same partisan bickering that we've been seeing for years.
That's definitely a risk. If Republicans see DOGE as a success, they might try to make even deeper cuts to government programs. And if Democrats see it as a failure, they might be even less willing to compromise or cooperate.
So we could end up in a situation where the two parties are just talking past each other, completely unable to find any common ground.
That's a real possibility. And that's not good for anyone. It means our government will be less effective, less able to deal with the problems facing the country.
So what's the alternative? What's the best case scenario here?
Well, the best case scenario is that DOGE somehow starts a more productive conversation about the role of government, about what our spending priorities should be, about how to make government more efficient and effective.
So instead of just fighting over who gets to cut what, maybe DOGE could lead to a more thoughtful and nuanced discussion about how to actually improve government.
That's the hope. But it's going to take both sides being willing to listen to each other, to compromise, and to put the country's interests ahead of their own party's agenda.
And that's a tall order in today's political climate.
It is, but it's not impossible. And it's definitely worth trying for.
Okay, so we've talked about the political and economic implications of DOGE, but let's not forget about the ethical side of things. This whole thing raises some tricky questions about the role of government, the balance of power, and the nature of accountability. Okay, let's talk about the role of technology in DOGE. One of the key parts of this initiative has been the focus on modernizing government technology. How is technology being used to achieve DOGE's goals?
Well, technology is a central part of DOGE's strategy. They're using it to streamline processes, automate tasks, and improve communication and collaboration. But one of the most interesting ways they're using technology is to find waste and inefficiency.
So, like, they're actually using technology to find those climate justice seminars and sensitivity workshops.
Not necessarily those specifically, but yeah, they're using data analytics to go through tons of government spending data and find areas where money is being wasted. They're looking for patterns, things that stand out, and red flags that might point to fraud, abuse, or just plain inefficiency.
So it's like they're using algorithms to hunt down waste.
Exactly. And it's a powerful tool. It lets them see patterns and trends that we might not notice. They can analyze huge amounts of data and identify areas where money isn't being spent well.
And that's just one example of how technology is being used in DOT, right? They're also using it to streamline processes, aren't they? They're automating tasks that used to be done manually, which is supposed to save time and money.
That's right. They're trying to get rid of as much paperwork and bureaucracy as possible. They're using things like online forms, digital signatures, and automated workflows. The goal is to make government more efficient and easier for people to use.
And they're also using technology to improve communication and collaboration, right?
Yeah, they're using tools like video conferencing, instant messaging, and project management software to connect people in different agencies and departments. The idea is to improve coordination and avoid doing the same work twice.
So it sounds like they're really trying to bring government into the 21st century.
That's definitely the goal. And there's no doubt that technology has the potential to, like, completely change how government works. It can make it more efficient, more effective, more responsive to what people need.
But there are also some risks with relying more and more on technology, right?
Absolutely. Technology is just a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad. There are a lot of ethical and practical concerns we need to think about as we depend more on technology in government.
Like what? What are some of the biggest concerns?
Well, one of the biggest is the potential for bias. Algorithms are only as good as the data they learn from, and if that data is biased, the algorithms will be biased too.
So is there a risk that DOGE's use of technology could make existing inequalities worse, or even create new ones?
Yeah, that's a real worry. For example, if the data used to train these algorithms has, like, racial or socioeconomic biases built in, then the algorithms could end up making discriminatory decisions.
And that could have serious consequences for people, right? It could affect things like their access to housing, healthcare, education, jobs, all sorts of things.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to be aware of these potential biases and make sure the algorithms being used are fair and equitable.
And there's also the issue of privacy, isn't there? As DOGE gathers more and more data, there's a risk that this data could be misused or abused.
That's another huge concern. The government has access to a lot of sensitive information about its citizens, financial details, medical records, location data, and there's always a risk that this data could be hacked, leaked, or used for things it wasn't intended for.
So we need strong safeguards to make sure that this data is handled responsibly and ethically.
Absolutely. We need clear rules about how this data can be collected, used, and shared. And we need strong penalties for anyone who breaks those rules.
So using technology in DOGE raises important questions about privacy, bias, and accountability.
It does. And these are questions that need to be addressed if we want to make sure technology is used to improve government, not make it worse.
Okay, I think we've covered a lot today. We've talked about how DOGE started, its goals, its methods, its supporters and critics, and the legal and ethical challenges it faces. We've also discussed the potential consequences of DOGE, both good and bad, and what it tells us about American democracy and the challenges we face as a society.
Yeah, I think you've summed it up perfectly.
So what does all this mean for the future of DOGE? Will it succeed? Or will it be stopped by legal challenges and political opposition?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's impossible to know for sure what the future holds for DOGE, but I think it's safe to say this is a story that's going to keep unfolding for a long time.
So buckle up, everyone. It's going to be a wild ride.
You got that right.
All right, before we finish up, I want to make sure we bring all of this back to you, our listener. We've given you a lot of information today, but what does it all mean for you, for your life, for your community? What are your big takeaways from this deep dive?
That's a great question, and it's one that each listener will have to answer for themselves. But I think there are a few key things to remember.
Okay, I'm listening.
First, DOGE isn't just some abstract policy debate happening far away in Washington. It's something that could have a real impact on your life, whether it's through changes to government programs you rely on, shifts in the economy, or changes in America's role in the world. DOGE has the potential to affect you in many ways.
So it's important to stay informed, to pay attention to what's happening, and to speak up if you have concerns.
Absolutely. Don't just sit back and let this happen, you know. Get involved, join the conversation, and make sure your voice is heard.
And make your voice heard. Oh. I like that. Okay, what else?
Second, I think DOGE is a big reminder that, you know, we live in a really divided country. People have very different views on what the government should be doing, on how we should spend our money, on what it means to be American. And those differences aren't going away anytime soon.
So it's like, be aware of those differences, right?
Yeah.
And try to have respectful conversations. Try to understand where the other side is coming from.
Right. Even if you completely disagree with them, at least try to see their point of view.
Try to see where they're coming from.
Right.
Okay, good point.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah, one more thing. I think DOGE reminds us that, you know, we live in a really complex world and things are changing fast. The challenges we're facing are like multifaceted. They're all connected. There are no easy answers. And we can't just go back to how things used to be.
So we need to be ready to adapt, to innovate, to find new ways to solve the problems we're facing.
Exactly. We need to be creative, flexible, and open to new ideas. We need to be willing to like challenge the way things are and find solutions that work for everyone, not just for a select few.
Solutions that work for everyone. I love that. Okay, so wrapping up our deep dive into DOGE, what are some of the big questions our listeners should be thinking about? What should they be watching for as this story continues to, unfold?
Well, I think one of the most important things to watch is how those legal challenges go. If the courts decide against DOGE, it could really limit their power, maybe even shut the whole thing down. But if the courts side with DOGE, it could give them even more power to make even bigger cuts and reforms.
So that legal battle is a really crucial moment, right? It's going to decide what happens to DOGE and how much it can change the government.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to keep an eye on how public opinion changes. Right now, people are really divided about DOGE. Some are strongly in favor and others are fiercely against it. But as the effects of what DOGE is doing become clearer, public opinion might shift.
So you're saying some people who initially liked DOGE might start to change their minds if they see the negative effects of the cuts.
That's definitely possible. And on the other hand, some people who were against DOGE might come around if they see that it's actually making government more efficient and effective.
So public opinion is like a moving target. It can change as people learn more about DOGE and what it's doing.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to stay informed, to have thoughtful conversations, and to be willing to change your mind as you learn new things.
Okay, good point. So we've talked about the legal challenges in public opinion. What else should our listener be paying attention to?
I think it's important to see how DOGE affects specific areas of policy. We talked about those cuts to foreign aid, but DOGE is also targeting lots of other programs, from environmental protection to social welfare to education.
So it's not just the big picture stuff. It's about how DOGE is affecting people's lives every day.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to see how DOGE changes the culture of government. They're trying to create a more results-oriented, data-driven culture, one that's less bogged down by bureaucracy and more focused on getting things done efficiently.
So it's not just about cutting budgets. It's about changing how the whole government works, how they make decisions, how people are held accountable.
Right. And that's a lot harder than just cutting spending. It requires a really big shift in how people think and act.
So will DOGE actually be able to pull that off? Can they really change the culture of government?
Only time will tell. But it's a pretty ambitious goal.
Okay, last question. We've talked a lot about the potential downsides of DOGE, but could there be any upsides? Could anything good come out of this?
I think there could be a few good things. For one, DOGE might force us to have a conversation about what we want from government in the 21st century.
So instead of just going along with how things are, maybe DOGE could make us ask some tough questions about what we expect from our government, what we're willing to pay for, and how we can make government work better for everyone.
Exactly. And another good thing that might come out of this is that DOGE could actually make government more efficient. There's no doubt that the current system has a lot of waste and inefficiency. And if DOGE can find ways to eliminate some of that waste, we could have more resources for other important things.
So maybe DOGE could actually make government work better.
It's possible, but it's important to remember that efficiency isn't everything. We also need to think about effectiveness, fairness, and accountability.
Right. It's all about finding the right balance.
Exactly. And that's not always easy, but it's something worth working towards.
Okay. I think that's a great place to wrap things up. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive into DOGE. It's been a really interesting and thought-provoking conversation.
It has. I hope our listeners have found it informative and engaging.
As always, we encourage you to keep learning about this topic. Read those sources we mentioned, look for different perspectives, and come to your own conclusions.
And don't be afraid to question what you think you know. The more you learn, the more you realize there's always more to discover.
That's the beauty of it all, right? Learning is a journey, and it never really ends.
Absolutely. And we're all on that journey together.
Well said. Thanks again for being with us. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep diving deep.